Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning we have with us Richard Franks, who's Executive Vice President at Propex. Richard, how you doing?
Doing fine, Kemp. How are you?
I'm doing well. I had trouble tracking you down. I had to chase you all the way to Shanghai to get you.
That's halfway around the world, I guess.
That's right. So I appreciate you staying up late to do this with us. You're 12 hours difference. So you're in Shanghai at the Domotex Asia or China Floor Show, aren't you?
That's right. We just finished our third day at China Floor.
All right. Well, let's talk about that in a minute. The reason I'm tracking you down is I want to talk about your big news, which we ran on Floor Daily as the lead story yesterday. And for those of you who don't know, Propex is the largest manufacturer of carpet backing fabrics. And as you know, carpet has both a primary and secondary backing to it. And so, I mean, short of the big three mills, anybody who wants carpet backing needs to buy it, and a lot of them buy from you. Is that right?
That's right. We service the U.S. market from our plants in Georgia, Kemp, and we sell essentially anybody who produces carpet in the U.S. And, of course, we have foreign operations as well. We have operations in Germany and Hungary, and supply the European market and Middle East market from those places. And we have a factory in Brazil that handles South America, and we also have one in Mexico, but certainly in the U.S., our Georgia mills supply most of the carpet industry.
Okay, and I mean, obviously the company does other things. It's got industrial fabrics and concrete reinforcement things, but for the sake of our audience, you're a carpet backing producer. I think this is public knowledge, but I think you're roughly, the total company is about $500 million in sales, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. So the big news, and the one I want to talk about, is that you guys have new owners. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's Wayzata Capital, and those that have followed our course of the last year, we went into Chapter 11 early last year, and we had a debt structure that wasn't supported by the cash flow that we were generating. So we went into Chapter 11 to restructure the balance sheet and do other things to make it a better business. So in the journey of the last year, we've restructured the business, and Wayzata Capital were part of the owners or part of the folks who had some of the capital that's involved in the business. And as the year went along, they got more interested in the business, and recently they took over our debtor in possession financing, that is the financing that takes care of your day-to-day operations, and expressed an interest of owning us and submitted what's called a stalking horse bid in our process for coming out of Chapter 11 under a 363 arrangement. So they were one of three bidders for the company, and they seemed to be very interested in operating it as a business. They set the stage for the auction of the company by stating in the auction, in the stalking horse bid, that they wanted to run it as a going concern, buy all the assets, hire all the employees. And so I think it's a good outcome for a lot of us. It's certainly good for the employees. It's good for the business. I think it's good for the industry, and that particularly in the U.S., you've got a domestic supplier of backing, which is a vital component for making carpet.
You really can't make carpet without using backing, right?
You've got to start with something.
That's right.
It's a sewing machine that stitches into a product, and so you need the primary backing to
hold it together
as a central part of the process, and then of course secondary backing adds to the stability of the product as well. So they both are very important to the carpet industry.
All right. So let's talk a little bit real quick. A couple little details that were in your press release. Interesting. This judge, Judge John Cook, said that this was an unbelievable auction, that it's unprecedented, lasted a long time. I think the bidding started somewhere around $62 million and ended up, I think the company that ended up with you ended up paying $82 million for you. Isn't that about right?
That's right. The original bid, the beginning bid called the stalking horse, was $62 million. The final sale price was $82 million. Started in the early afternoon and went well into the night. So it took the better part of the day and better part of the night. And those of us who were following it were anxious to get to the end of it, obviously. But I can tell you, Kemp, that after spending a year in Chapter 11 and the things you have to do with Chapter 11, it felt good to have folks who would stay up all night to try to own the business. So it was quite satisfying to see the interest in the company and the fact that folks want to own this business, to operate it as a going concern.
Yeah. Actually, there were 95 bids, and it lasted 15 hours. And the the runner-up was some company called Black Diamond. So they, I guess they wanted it, but just they reached their limit.
I guess so.
Yeah. All right. So you're out there in China. Anything else to say, by the way, now that you're no longer in Chapter 11?
Well, Kemp, it's been an interesting year for us. You know, a year ago we didn't have a business that would support the amount of debt that we have, particularly in a declining economy. Most every business we were in was the markets were suffering from declines, and as the year went along, those got even worse. Particularly those in the carpet industry know the numbers that we've been dealing with from a market standpoint for the past year. So, it's been a tough year where we've had to. Restructure some from an employee standpoint, although not a lot, but we've had to do some of that. We've had to look very carefully at how we spend our money, how we spend our cash. And I think we've done it in such a way that we're a stronger company. We've made ourselves more lean. We're managing with lower inventories. But I will tell you that while a lot of us have spent a fair amount of time on Chapter 11, we have not neglected the business. We've continued to work on our service and work on our quality, both of which are better than they were a year ago. And we continue to work on new products as well. And all of our major businesses, we have some innovations that have been brought out. And in the carpet industry, we've introduced a product called the EX3 Advantage, which is, we think it's the backing of the future, so more friendly to the tufting needle. And we think it offers some environmental benefits to the carpet industry as well. So we've been about doing our business. And so while it's been a tough journey, I think it's been we certainly have had our customers stick with us. We've certainly had our vendors stick with us, and employees have stuck with us as well. And so I think we've made the best of a tough situation.
I think the other
thing about it too is we're prepared for the future. We are sized right for the future and ready to be a good supplier to the industry.
So you got a clean balance sheet. The whole time you've been in this Chapter 11, you've been working on servicing your existing customers, and you've actually even done some R&D work, and you've developed this new product. So, I mean, you got everybody at Propex is probably relieved and highly energized now, aren't they?
I think they are. Yeah. It's a new day, and you know these are tough times right now, but they're going to get better, and we think we're well prepared for it, and we're anxious to move ahead with our new life.
All right. So let's talk real quick about while you're in China. We're talking to you. You're in Shanghai right now. Tell us a little bit about this. So the Domotec show is basically over as of today, because while it's in the morning here, it's evening there, and so it was the last day of the show today. Talk a little bit about what you saw at the show.
Well, it's it's similar to other carpet shows that you go to around the world. Domotec's in Europe, and also the ones we have in the U.S. With surfaces. Although this one is all types of flooring, it's not just carpet. Three of eight exhibit halls are devoted to carpet. The other five are to hard surfaces. Four of the other five are actually devoted to wood. So it's very much a wood market. Now, I obviously spent most of my time in the carpet hall. Mm-hmm. And what you see there is people from around the world that want to be involved in Asia are showing here, but it's very much an Asian show. Lots of Asian exhibitors. And it's a reflection of, I think, this part of the world that while there's broadloom carpet and certainly carpet tile and the things that we're familiar with in the States, there seems to be an emphasis on rugs as well. And some of the artistic capabilities that you see from with the Asian influence here as well. One thing I did notice as we went through the halls, though, is people who have been here before say the attendance is down, but I'll tell you that with attendance down, there still were a lot of people here. And it appeared to me that the carpet showrooms were a lot more busy than the wood and laminate floor areas. But it could be because they're spread out over five halls, but it certainly seemed to be a buzz in the three carpet halls.
Yeah. So this is primarily a domestic show with an international flair. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. The three halls really kind of break down this way. One is what I'd call an international hall. It's where players from Europe and America show here and show their products. And also the major Asian carpet producers show here as well. The second one I'd call is very much a China hall. It's companies in China that produce here in China and are marketing to the Pacific Rim. And then the third one is pretty much rugs. It's everything from wovens to tufted to pieced rugs, but anything that's less than wall-to-wall carpet is probably shown in that particular showroom.
Now, with over a billion people in China, you got to imagine that the domestic demand or the the amount of flooring sold just in China alone is massive. I think in Shanghai, it's 22 million people just in where you are right now, right?
That's right. I tell you, it's mind-boggling when you come from North Georgia or Chattanooga and you take a look at this place. It's just miles and miles of high-rise condos, and you just can't believe the number of people. I like to do a little trivia sometime. I haven't had a chance to calculate it, but if we carpeted every square foot of residential space in Shanghai, we probably have to run the carpet industry for 10 years to do that. But 22 million people and a very, very crowded place.
Yeah. Sometime I do want to, maybe another interview, get into your new products. I did just want to catch you about this change in ownership and hear a little bit about Domatex. One more last question about Domatex Asia. What U.S. manufacturers are you seeing there on the soft side?
Well, BoYu is here, Milliken is here, Mannington.
Yeah.
I hate to name names because I might miss some folks, but those folks are here. And then you see some other folks who are here that maybe not exhibiting, but working with their Asian partners. Dixie has some representation here. Of course,
yeah.
The manufacturers of equipment are here. You see, Card Monroe was showing here, but the folks who provide equipment are showing here as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So, I mean, it's amazing. Come halfway around the world, still see people you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this flooring industry is a global business, so I appreciate you spending time with us this morning. We are running out of time. We've been talking to Richard Franks, who's Executive Vice President at Propex from Shanghai. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.